What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about building hypertrophy programs, or specifically a four-step process or four steps to building a great hypertrophy program. The reason this isn't titled Four Steps to Building the Best Hypertrophy Program or the Perfect Hypertrophy Program is because you can't build the best or perfect plan without knowing the individual you're building it for, right? You don't know their constraints, their preferences, their equipment, any of that stuff. And so this is more of how I would build a template, how I would start with a template for my group program. Even though my group program is not an individual, I have a good feel of the temperature of the what certain pain points people have, what sort of preferences people have. Again, on average, on you know, across almost 1,000 people. But you can take this template and you can apply it to an individual that you're working with or yourself. And so the assumption I will begin with is that you want to grow everything at least a little, right? This is not four steps to building a great hypertrophy program except for calves or except for traps or except for back or except for quads. But, you know, when we're talking about building a template and understanding programming principles, we should be doing that under the with the pretense that people want to grow things at least a little, or they at least want to have a baseline of strength across all of the muscles of their body, let's say, or all the muscle groups of their body. I will also say you can still make gains if you don't follow this plan. I will back up why I'm making certain decisions here. And if those things check out to you, they make logical sense to you, you can take them on board. If you feel otherwise or you feel strongly about a way you do it, that's totally fine. But I will lay out why I'm doing these things. And I will say, even though I think that there are some things that we're going to go through today that I think are not non-negotiables in the sense that they're, if you don't do them, you're not going to make gains, but they make a lot of sense and don't have a large cost. Even if you don't do those things, you can still make gains. Somebody on Instagram sent me a program the other day that their friend was doing, and they're like, is my friend getting ripped off? This is her program or whatever. And I replied back, there are things I do differently, but she's going to make gains on this program and it's not so bad, right? Like, you don't need to have a perfect program to make gains. Of course not. But there are some things that when you have the power to improve something for no cost, you might as well do it. And I'll kind of go through a couple of those opportunities. I will also say that you'll be able to hear it in the tone of my voice. And if you've followed me for any length of time, you know that I'm not actually interested in maximizing hypertrophy. That phrase is just like all over the internet. Maximize this. You understand that in order to maximize something, you have to go deep, deep, deep into diminishing returns, right? Like, you know, a power lifter might train an entire year to like add 5 to 10 pounds on their bench press. I don't think any of us are in a situation where we are willing to go, you know, all the way into steep diminishing returns, really bad ROI, because it is our life's mission to eke out every single gram of muscle, every single pound on the bar that we can. I just don't work with people like that. I work with people that are real people in real life with a moderate amount of time. They want to get, you want to get, they want to get muscular, they want to be strong, they want to get jacked, but they don't want to sacrifice their whole life or go super duper deep into diminishing returns. I'm more interested in efficiency. Now, some people, again, hear efficiency and they think that means minimum effective dose. I don't mean that either. My group program is not minimum effective dose. It is north of that. The way I'll go through this program step by step today is not a minimum effective dose. It could be. And I was thinking about this. I just went out for a walk with the dogs. I was thinking about the difference between efficiency and maximization. And I think that they are the same thing, except for one of them sounds like you're trying to do less. The other one is taking the exact same principles and just turning up the dial, right? The difference between being efficient and maximizing is just turning up the dial. The things that I'm going to go through today, there are a couple principles that I look at as a way to improve programming efficiency. They are the same principles you would use if you were trying to maximize, right? The things that I think you can do to make really good gains in less time are the same principles you'd take if you wanted to maximize results, right? They are the same thing. The difference is the dial, right? And so I'm still going to address what you can do if you want to do a little bit more, but my program will be north of a minimum effective dose, less than the absolute maximum, in the ballpark of what I believe to be really efficient. If your goal is to look like you lift, have a good amount of muscle, visual muscle, get stronger, be jacked, all that good stuff, but maybe not pro bodybuilder status. The goal of this podcast is to get the bones of a really great program in four steps, right? How many days are you training? What split are you doing? What exercises are you doing? And how many sets of each exercise? In a future episode, I think it'd be fun to double click on a single workout and go through kind of reps and rest and RIR and maybe exercise order. And that can be a really fun podcast, but I think just getting the template, the bones out there would help a lot of people. And at the end, I'm going to summarize everything with an analogy that I think you'll never forget. I've been thinking about this analogy for the last couple of months, and it feels so perfect to me. It is how my brain works in terms of programming. If you're listening along with me, we're going through these four steps and you're kind of waiting for something to bring it all together, I have a strong feeling this analogy will do that. So stick around. Hopefully that can be the kind of the glue that solidifies this in your brain. So four steps to building a great hypertrophy program. Step one, decide how many days you can realistically train and for how long, right? If you want to make gains and you're not in the like, I'm a pro bodybuilder / my life depends on this, you're probably in something like 2 to 4 times per week for 30 to 75 minutes. Somewhere in that 1 to 4 hours of training per week. Those are the people I'm going to be speaking to right now with this podcast. I'll also talk to, you know, people who might want to do a little bit more and kind of how to turn that dial of efficiency up, as it were. But that's typically where people are going to be. And I'll tell you now, I'm going to talk through a 3-day per week program as we go through this. But step one is think about your life. Think about what's realistic. What can you be consistent with? You know, if you were a pro bodybuilder and your whole life revolved around training, you wouldn't start with this. You'd start with how much do I have to train to make the absolute most gains? What I think most people should start with is what's realistic for me. You can always kind of auto-regulate, change things over time, but look at your life. How many times per week can you get in the gym, for how long, and let's maximize what you can sustain. It's not about maximizing the results. It's about getting the best results within the time frame that you can realistically allot to training on a consistent basis. Step two, pick your split. Step one, how many days and how long can you realistically train? Step two, pick your split. I only have one rule I'm going to go through today, and that is that you must hit each muscle group 2 times per week. We know that 2 times per week frequency is better than 1 time per week frequency, or like a bro split. Again, when I say frequency, I'm talking about per muscle. I'm not saying total training sessions per week. I'm saying each muscle must be worked on 2 separate workouts, let's just say. And if you want to say that that's not a big deal, if you want to be like, no, you can do a bro split and still make gains, a couple of things. One is when I say bro split, by the way, what I mean is like something like chest on Monday, back on Tuesday, legs on Thursday, something like that, where you're working one muscle group per day and you're not repeating that throughout the week. You're just hitting each muscle group once per day. Now, you might be obliterating it on that one day, but you are still only working it that one day per week. Small tangent. We do have research where people do bro splits and they make gains. Totally. I would say, though, the reason that, first of all, nobody's really doing bro splits anymore. I think that it's a good thing that they've fallen off, because it's very clear that 2 times per week frequency is more efficient, more effective. But if you were hell-bent on doing a bro split, you could still make gains. What I would say is most of that research is done in untrained lifters, and the rest of the kind of aura of a bro split comes from like 70s, 80s, 90s bodybuilding, where people are just juiced up like crazy. And when you are on a whole pharmacy of supplements, special sports supplements, you can afford to do a bro split. We know that there's an enhanced response of training where you muscles can grow for longer. You can get away with doing a 1 time per week frequency when you are juiced to the gills. If you're a natural, you're not on any of that stuff, 2 times per week frequency is absolutely what you should do. I think it's what you should do either way. But this whole, whatever remains of the bro split era is looking at research in untrained lifters and juiced up bodybuilders from, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So again, if you want to say that frequency, hitting muscles 2 times per week, is not a big deal, I would argue back I would argue twofold. One is that I think it matters at all. And if we agree that it matters at all, you can usually get most people to say, okay, it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better, and it costs you absolutely nothing. It costs you nothing to organize your programming in a way that hits muscles 2 times per week. That's the hill I'm dying on. I'm not dying on, hitting muscles 2 times per week is going to dramatically change your gains. I'm dying on the hill of it's going to improve your gains for no cost. An example of something else like that is creatine. I mean, creatine has a financial cost, but it's relatively cheap. Does it do a whole lot? No. Does it help a little bit? Yes. It helps a little bit for no cost. Shit, man. If you can stack a whole bunch of things that help a little bit for no cost, it will add up to something meaningful. So we're going to talk through splits that hit each muscle group 2 times per week for twice per week training, 3 times per week training, and 4 times per week training. If you're training 2 times per week and you need to hit each muscle group 2 times per week, that means you must train with full body. All right, just going to pause there for a second, let that soak in. If you're only training twice per week and you need to hit each muscle twice per week, then you must train full body twice per week. Cool, we good on that? 3 times per week, you have, I would say, 2 options. You can either run a 3-day full body split, which would actually be hitting all muscle groups 3 times per week, which, you know, may have a slight benefit, may or may not. Or you can do something like a lower body, upper body, full body. Now, what I would say is between those two, I really like training full body 3 times per week. That's what I'm doing currently in my training. But lower, upper, full is better if you ever have to run back-to-back days, right? If you ever have to train on back-to-back days, then lower, upper, full is better. And that's what I program for my group because I know not everyone has 100% control over their schedule. And seeing as though there's no real discernible benefit between the two, if you can organize training in a way that gives your client or clientele or yourself a little bit more flexibility should you have to train back-to-back, I think that can be helpful. And quick, let me double click on that because I didn't explain it, but I wouldn't want somebody training full body and then the next day full body. I'd want at least a rest day. And so if you have to train back-to-back and you're doing a lower, upper, full, you can put the lower body and the upper body on back-to-back days and you won't be training the same muscle 2 days in a row. But if you have full body and you're like, hey, I can only train Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, then Saturday and Sunday are both full body days and that Sunday workout is going to be hindered in a way that is just avoidable by just doing another split. Again, if someone's like hell-bent on full body being slightly better, it kind of crumbles if you have to train back-to-back days. So I lean lower, upper, full without knowing who my client is. If they assure me that they are never, ever, ever going to have to train back-to-back, then I'll probably let them experience both and end up picking for themselves. And if you're training 4 times a week, I think it's pretty simple. You just run a 2 time per week, upper, lower. So use upper, lower, upper, lower, or lower, upper, lower, upper. You do technically have more flexibility, right? If you want to get really into the weeds of programming, you could do 4 times a week full body in some ways, right? Because you doing 4 times a week full body, you're going to end up with a back-to-back workout somewhere. But in a very nerdy way, you could organize it such that back-to-back day has a little bit of upper and lower, but doesn't have any overlapping muscles. To me, it's way more fuss than it's worth. If you train 4 days a week, upper lower is the way to go. So recap. Step 1, how many days can you realistically train and for how long? Step 2, pick your split. Must hit each muscle group 2 times per week. If it's 2 times training, you're doing full body. If it's 3 times a week training, either every other day full body or something like lower, upper, full. And the reason I don't like upper, lower, full, I think legs take a little bit longer to recover. So I like putting lower first and then there's the upper day. And then by the time you get to the full body day, legs have typically recovered a bit better than if you did upper first, then lower, then full body. 4 times a week, we're going to do an upper, lower split. Now, step 3, pick an exercise for every muscle that you want to grow on that day and start with 1 working set. So from here, I'm going to be talking about a 3-day split, lower, upper, full, roughly 60-minute workout, just to understand that. Because I want to show you what an upper day might look like, a lower day might look like, and a full body day might look like. These principles apply all the same if you're doing 2 times full body, 3 times full body, or 4 times upper, lower. I think this gives me a chance to show you a bit of how you might build either of these workouts. So pick an exercise for every muscle you want to grow that day, and start with 1 working set, right? So an upper body day, the bare minimum for an upper body day is 1 push exercise, 1 pull exercise, 1 side delt exercise, 1 bicep exercise, and 1 tricep exercise, and 1 working set of each. So I'll talk through an example. I know it would be nice if we had some visuals here, but maybe something like, I'll just make this up on the spot, something like a 1 set of flat dumbbell press, 1 set of seated cable row, 1 set of dumbbell lateral raise, 1 set of preacher curl, and 1 set of tricep pushdown. Great. Now, that's 5 working sets, 5 exercises, 1 working set of each. If you wanted to go a little bit nerdier, you could add a vertical and horizontal of each, the push and the pull, right? I said flat dumbbell press, and I said seated cable row. Those are both horizontal movements, right? The pressing and the pulling both from a kind of perpendicular to the torso. But we are missing, you know, the clavicular pec. We're missing the lower lats. We're missing kind of the pressing upward and the pulling from overhead. Those are two exercises that we are missing. You could add those here for a total of 7 exercises. A lower body day, the bare minimum on a lower body day would be something for your glute max, something for your glute med, something for your quads, your hamstrings, and your calves. You could add, you know, direct adductor work, but I think you can get adductor work with these exercises. Now, that might look something like a bent knee RDL, the abduction machine, leg extension, hamstring curl, standing calf raises, right? That's a bare minimum leg day, one working set of each of those. Now, just to hit pause real quick, we have research in trained individuals that do one working set of each muscle 2 times per week. So they did a full body session on Monday, one working set per muscle group, and another full body session on Thursday, one working set per muscle group. It was roughly 30-ish minutes of training. All sets were taken to between 0 and 2 RIR, and trained individuals saw muscle growth. So we know that at one working set done twice per week, close to failure, is enough to grow muscle. For the vast majority of people, I think there's probably a level of muscularity where, you know, that minimum effective dose goes up a little bit, but I still stand by that for almost everyone. And so once you've hit one working set of each muscle group across 2 days, and we'll get to that because obviously I haven't done a full body day for this 3-day program yet, you're good. And the full body day is, it's kind of, I mean, you kind of chuckle at what I'm about to say, but it's essentially one set of everything I just said, right? Because you have an upper body day where you hit everything once, a lower body day where you hit everything once, in order to hit everything twice, you need this third day to hit everything once. And so a full body day would be one set of all of those that I just listed. One push exercise, one pull, one side delt, one bicep, one tricep, one glute max, one glute med, one quads, one hamstrings, and one calves. And that might feel odd to you, right? It might feel like a bit fussy, maybe like a bit of an erratic session style for you. And the truth is you could lean on some compound lifts and potentially deprioritize certain muscle groups by doing that. You could say, well, I'm not going to train bicep and tricep that day. I'm just going to add another row or another pull down and I'll get some bicep stimulus there. And I'll add another pushing movement. I'll do an overhead press. I'll get a little tricep there. You could do that. But on paper, that full body day would be somewhere between 7 and 12 exercises, one working set, right? Again, I'm not suggesting that you have to do that. I am suggesting that in the attempt, like if you show me a program that isn't hitting each muscle group twice, I have to question why you're not doing that. And if your answer is because I'm not prioritizing that muscle right now for reason X, Y, and Z, then that's totally fine. But if your goal was to prioritize growing your biceps or to definitively have enough volume to grow your biceps and you're only training biceps once per week, I can't really... And by the way, I've written programs like that. And my rationale for doing so was, hey, we're trying to keep these workouts within a given time frame. And absolute max, you know, maximizing bicep growth is not our priority compared to other things within the constraints that we have. And I've done that before. I've shifted a little bit of how we do things. I do think even just one working set can be meaningful. And maybe I, prior to some of this literature, maybe I poo-pooed one working set being super meaningful. I think having one hard working set at or close to failure is super meaningful. So when that is true, I don't mind having more exercises, even if it's just one working set, because that one working set is meaningful. So quick recap here. Step one, how many days can you realistically train and for how long? Step two, pick your split, hit each muscle group twice per week. Step three, pick an exercise for each muscle you want to grow that day and start with one working set. So now you have your 3-day program. You have, you know, let's say 5 to 10 exercises on a day, each of them one working set. That is your baseline. I just want to pause there. That is your baseline. What you've done is you've built the minimum effective dose for hypertrophy, right? You're hitting each muscle group with 2 times 1 set, right? One set, let's say you have your upper day. That means everything on that first upper day is getting hit with one working set. And then everything is getting hit again on that full body day with one working set. You have now reached the minimum effective dose. And if you are a minimum effective dose person, you could stop right here. You could say, I'm going to hit all my muscles, you know, one time per week on Monday and Tuesday on an upper and lower day. And then I'm going to hit them all on a full body day with one working set and I am done. That's my minimum effective dose, right? And that's probably, you know, well within what people can do in terms of time allocation. You could do that in three times a week, 30 to 45 minutes, and you could get that done. Now, step four, add in sets or exercises in proportion to muscle priority, enjoyment, and total time and energy constraints, understanding there's a diminishing return to each additional set. What that means is you have your, you have the foundation of a really great program that hits everything two times one working set. If you look at that and you're like, I have more time than this, where do I allocate my time? The extra time that I have, maybe you have time for another five working sets on each day. You should put those sets in proportion to the priority in which that muscle is and the total time and energy constraints that you have, understanding that with every time you add a set, you're getting a little bit less from it each time. Now, I want to be clear. You are getting, each additional set is additive. It's helping. You make, people get this a little weird. Like diminishing return does not mean that each additional thing you do is not beneficial. It is just a little bit less beneficial than the last set you added and a little less beneficial than the last set you added. You should add a set to the stuff you care about most. Go back to the exercises that you wrote down for each day. Think about how much time and energy you have after completing what you have down on paper and add a set to the stuff you care about most, right? For upper and lower days, you might jump everything to two working sets, right? I believe, and this is not well-researched. We don't have amazing research on this, but I've been doing this for a decade. I think if you train appropriately hard, close to failure, 0 to 2 RIR, most people have about 8 to 15 hard working sets in them within a single workout before their productivity drops off, you know, nearly drops off a cliff. And so it's like you have a bunch of beads. This is not the analogy. So I'm sorry I'm doing this. This is an unplanned analogy. But you put the beads down. By the way, it's hysterical because the other analogy is way better, but I'm too far into the bead analogy. It's like you put one bead down for each exercise and you look down at the amount of beads you have left and you're like, okay, the beads that you have left are kind of an analogy for how much time and energy you have left. And you're going to place the beads, the remaining beads that you have on the stuff that you care about most, such that it doesn't exceed the amount of time that you have to train and the energy that you have to train. You can't just look at the upper body day and be like, oh, I want to grow everything a ton. And then you make all of it four sets. All of a sudden it's a 20 to 25 working set workout. And you're either not going to survive that. It's going to be too much, or it's going to, you know, I don't want to get too fear-mongery about it. Like you could probably survive that, but you'd be so far in diminishing returns and potentially not recovering well enough to progress. I think it could be counterproductive, at the very least, wildly inefficient. I typically, within my program, I end up with somewhere around 8 to 11 working sets for lower body and somewhere between 10 to 15 working sets for upper body. It works out that lower body tends to be a little bit more fatiguing on an exercise or a set to set basis. You know, there just is no replicating, you know, a set of Bulgarian split squats for the upper body, right? Just nothing is as fatiguing as doing your right and left leg really, really hard Bulgarian split squats for your upper body. So on average, lower body tends to be a little bit more fatiguing. You know, you have RDLs, hack squats, pendulum. You know, of course, you have less fatiguing stuff like leg extensions, ham curls, abduction machine, calf raise, etc. But for the most part, those exercises are a little bit more fatiguing. I find the sweet spot to be, you know, 8 to 10, 8 to 12 working sets, depending on the exercises, and for upper body, because they tend to be a little bit more stable, a little less cardiovascularly demanding. You can afford, you have the energy to do a little bit more, somewhere in that 10 to 15 hard working sets. So again, once you have one hard working set of each thing you want on each day, look at what you've built and add sets in proportion to the priority of that muscle, and just keep tabs on how long that workout is getting. How many working sets are you doing all of a sudden on this workout, and is that going to be a problem? Now, if all of that felt a little bit complicated, I want to walk you through an analogy about food, because I feel like analogies about food, they just work. And forgive me for not having this analogy 100% thought out. You're going to hear me working it out as we go, but I do believe it really depicts the right way to write a hypertrophy program. And the analogy is eating at a buffet. When you eat at a buffet, the first thing you're going to do, let's imagine this buffet has really good Italian food, really good sushi, really good Indian food, you know, a really good grill, good steak, you know, that carving station, whatever. First thing you're going to do is you're going to get a little bit of all the things you like, right? A little bit of all the things you want to enjoy. And that is the same as you building that foundational program of one working set of all the muscles you want to grow twice per week. You're going to build the foundation. You're going to get the minimum effective dose of each of the carving station and the sushi and the pasta and the Indian food. You're going to get a little bit of each thing. Tell me I'm lying. The first time you get up from your table at a buffet is when you are going to get the most variety because you're going to try a whole bunch of different things that you like. However, after you've done that, when you get up for your second plate, you are now going to go back for seconds of the stuff you really liked. And this is the same as you adding sets to the muscle groups that are a priority for you, right? Once you have had all of them a little bit, once you have a little bit of volume across your whole body done twice per week, you're going to say, how much more time do I have? Just like in the buffet example, you're going to think, how hungry am I? How much more room for food do I have? And you're going to allocate that remaining hunger, the remaining time, towards the stuff that's of a greater priority, the stuff that you enjoy more. That second trip up at the buffet, you're going to go back for the stuff that you really like. Now, there's a little nuance here because in the training example, while you could add sets to the stuff you're already doing, you could also add an additional exercise for a muscle group. So if you're like, hey, my glutes are really a priority, but I'm already doing two sets of RDL, two sets of abduction, could I add a single set of a step up? Could I add an additional set for the glutes, but with a new exercise? You absolutely could. And in the buffet example, this is you going up for seconds, realizing you want more pasta because you really like pasta, but getting a different pasta because you know that trying a new different pasta, that the first bite of something is always the best. And with training, it's similar. With each additional set, we lose a little bit of the relative stimulus. Like your first set of RDLs accounts for a high percentage of the total benefit of doing RDLs for the day, right? Your first set of RDLs is more stimulative than the second set of RDLs, which is more stimulative than the third set of RDLs. So what you kind of want is you want a lot of these first sets. You want a lot of those first bites because the second bite and the third bite and the fourth bite, it's never as special as the first bite. And so when you go up for your seconds, when you go up to kind of say, you know, how full am I? How much more hunger do I have to pick some of these foods? You're going to choose the stuff that you really enjoy, but you might also add a first bite of something else. So we'll do a summary here. Step one, how much can you realistically train, right? How many days per week and for how long? Step two, pick a split. Make sure you're hitting muscles at least two times per week. Step three, do one hard set for each muscle group you want to work on that day. Step four, add more work, whether that's an additional set of something you're already doing or a new exercise, a first set of a new exercise, to muscles that are of a greater priority within your time and energy cap, knowing that the first set is most stimulative and that there's a diminishing return with each additional set. Now, I will admit that didn't come out as smoothly as I would have liked, but truthfully, the programming process is pretty simple. Get yourself to the minimum effective dose for hypertrophy, which is two working sets split across two workouts, and then see how much time and energy you have left and add from there in proportion to the stuff that matters to you, knowing that you might be better off adding a whole new exercise instead of doing another set of something that you're already doing. Now, I will say, if you don't want to worry about any of this stuff, that is exactly why I made the group program. This was not my intent for there to be some sort of shameless plug at the end here, but I do think that while it's interesting to kind of learn how to program and the principles of programming, I still find a value in offloading that to somebody else. And so if you want to do that, check out the group program. It's $34 a month. You get a whole bunch of really cool stuff. You get form checks and demonstrations and a kick-ass community and a ton of exclusive content. You know, if you're a podcast listener, we do lectures in the group program that are exclusive content with visuals. It's basically like I'm giving a presentation to the group, and those are exclusive to my community that comes free with the group program. All right, see you guys in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical.
If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.